Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart, the website broadcast. I thank God for what He's doing in these wonderful days. Even though these are the last days, they are wonderful days because God has a plan, and that plan is in full motion. The Lord has people that love Him, that people want to make a difference. People that love to study the end times and they want to make a difference. They want their family and friends in heaven. They're chomping at the bits to do God's will. They love Him. They want to make a difference before the Lord's glorious return, which is very soon. And I thank the Lord for that. In earlier broadcasts, even on the radio, the Lord had me to talk about how in ministry, don't concern yourself with the troubles of ministry and plans, you know, that people come up with to make it go better. Just enjoy the Lord's presence. If you can enjoy Him, His presence, meditate, thinking about His word, considering His ways, and just enjoy the Lord, He will cause you to do a mighty work. You know, the plans of men won't work because it's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And people who continually try to plan everything out and make up strategies, they just frustrate themselves and they don't even enjoy the ministry anymore. And every ministry has its own set of problems and challenges. Dealing with people can be very difficult, but the Lord always makes it easy. When the Lord anoints you for something, through the anointing, you have God's ability to perform and finish that specific task. And He anoints mature people. I asked Him once, I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? Because I use that word in writings, and I never asked Him for, you know, I just kind of, I used the word anointing. I knew it meant that God selected you to do something. But when He was giving me definitions a few years ago, I noticed that I never really asked Him what the definition of the anointing was. And the definitions that He gave me were concerning things about faith and trust and other words like doubt, unbelief, all these things. He gave me definitions over the years. And some of them I didn't even ask Him. He just gave me the definition. And for example, He said, faith is a definer. And when I was listening to Mark 11 one day, and the Lord said, faith is a definer. In other words, if a man is not saved by his faith, he'll believe the words of God. He'll believe on Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, that He died for him, that His blood shed washed away their sins, and He rose again for their justification. And then by his faith, he'll say, well, I believe on Jesus Christ. Lord, please save me and forgive me of all my sins, and he'll get saved. So by his faith, he was redefined from a sinner to a child of God, a new creation. If a man is sick and he's believing God for healing, he believes God for healing, then his healing will manifest in his body, and then he's redefined from a sick man to a healed man. So that was the definition for faith. And he gave me definitions like that, and I thank him for it. And trust is reliance. It's a difference. I used to use the word faith and trust interchangeably, but trust is different. It's reliance. And I said, Lord, give me more about that. And he said, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. It's a graduation of faith. But without faith, you can't even get started. And faith is strong. So I asked him, I said, well, since you've given me all these wonderful definitions and it really helped me understand you better, what's your definition of the anointing? He said, the anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, when you're anointed to the ministry, you know, it looks like the pastor's the smartest guy in the room. That's not true. He's anointed to do something. He's anointed to help his help the people of God grow up. And when you have an anointing for that, you have there's a patience with it. There's encouragement in it. All the things you need to help people grow in the Lord and understand and become strong men and women of God, that pastor's designed to help do that. Teachers are designed to teach God's word. They are anointed to teach God's word. And they can and when people are anointed, they almost don't have to think. That anointing is on them. And they can do great works because God gave them his ability to do something. Now, with that in mind, every ministry or every man of God, every woman of God, the ministry that God gives you and the purpose that he anointed you to perform, that's going to be the easiest thing you can do in your life. It'll just come together. And whatever you need to pull that mission off, you're anointed to do it, and you can do it the same way David fought Goliath. He was anointed to be king. He was anointed naturally to protect Israel. And because he was anointed to protect Israel, because that's the king's first assignment, is to protect the people, the nation. And he ran towards Goliath with his sling in his hand, and he reached in the bag while he was in flight running towards his enemy, his giant enemy, and he loaded the sling and whirled it around and put a dent in his forehead, knocked him cold out. And then he cut his head off while he was out, because he was anointed. The trained soldiers would have fought with swords and things like that in a way that Goliath would have had the advantage. But see, when you're anointed, that was an easy thing for David to do. Now, the reason we're saying all this, the Lord had me to talk about change today. Now, the last broadcast, he had me talking about adjustments. And when the Lord revealed things to you, you have to make adjustments so that you can keep it, so that you can use it in your life. As you make adjustments, you're going to find change in your life. The adjustment's going to cause you to change and grow in the way that God needs you to grow, so that you can receive what he's saying, and there will be change in your heart. That's the first thing to change, is your heart. And the second thing to change is the way you think. And the third thing that changes is your body, your actions, your habit system. We talked about that last time on the last on the previous website broadcast. So when you are adjusting according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he's helping, he's preparing you, he's training you for a purpose. And then you make adjustments, and then you'll find yourself changing in the way that you do things. And it's not a change for the negative, it's always a change for the positive. And the Lord had, the last broadcast, the website broadcast, he had me talking about how the rich young ruler thought that Jesus was trying to make him poor. Jesus was trying to get him out of his idolatry and show him how to make even more money than he had. See, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And then when you come and follow Jesus, sometimes the anointing that God gives you, it requires you to multiply financially. That's why some ministers, that they have, they're on TV every day, all day, on different stations. And the Lord anointed them to do that. Their anointing draws money. They have God's ability to get the word out in a massive way. There's no limit to how far you can go. Sometimes you have to make adjustments so that you can receive. Sometimes people have men don't like change. They're the slowest people that God made in all of God's creation. Men don't like to change. They will wrestle when they ain't even getting nowhere. They will wrestle against what God is doing while God's trying to steadily promote them, because they don't understand what's going to happen if they obey God, just like the rich young ruler. See, there's nothing about the character of God that wants you to be poverty-stricken. If it don't fit Genesis, it don't fit. God said in the first place, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And as a teaching out, people say, well, God don't want you to be in pride, so he'll cause trouble so that you won't be in pride. And that's false information. If you don't want to be in pride, operate in love. Because pride is the opposite of love. Pride looks within. It wants attention. It wants to be first. Love wants to be a blessing, though you'll be last. Love wants to contribute. Pride wants to take, not receive, but take. And so, because of false teaching, false information that's inspired by the devil, people buy into these things thinking it looks good. Everything the devil says sounds good, but it don't fit the word of God, and it's dangerous. Now, he uses his deception as a weapon. And people who preach a compromised gospel, they are weapons. People that get in pride is a weapon. People that get in pride are the first in hell and the last in heaven. They'll be the first people when the false prophet calls people to take that mark. They'll be the first in line. They'll be the volunteers to get the mark of the beast, because they're in pride. Even Christian people who get in pride, God gonna leave them when the rapture come. And they'll be the first ones in line to take the mark, because they're hardy. The pride looks within. They want what they want. They want to be the best. And when the enemy get through dressing it up with his lies, they're going to buy into it because they got pride in their heart. And proud people always operate in fear. They use fear tactics. Any kind of leader there is, when they get in pride, when you look at the people that they govern, that they're leading, the people end up in pride and or they end up in fear. They always use fear tactics. Everybody in pride always use fear tactics, just like everybody that love operates in faith. See, love is an agent of, faith is an agent of love, and pride and fear is an agent of pride. And the reason God don't give us the spirit of fear is because it's an evil gift. That's an evil thing to give somebody, is fear. I don't use fear tactics because I don't want my children to fear nothing. That doesn't mean I won't correct them, but I'll correct them because I love them. I don't want anybody to be afraid of me. I want them to, I take a firm position on what I take. And I expect them to do things, and I tell them why. And as they got mature, I said, do what's right because it's right. Not to make me look good. Not to get some kind of event. Do what's right because you love God. If you love God, do what's right. Choose to obey God. Don't choose to deny it. Because God got to be... The laws of sowing and reaping are already set. He can't bless you the same if you do wrong. But because he loves you, do what's right. So I don't have to have fear. I don't use fear tactics because I'm not afraid. Now, the Lord is not afraid that we will fail. He's not afraid that you'll leave the kingdom of God if he corrects you. He's not afraid to tell you to your face things that you need. He's not afraid to rebuke you. And people if he chastises you and you're hard-headed, then you'll leave his kingdom. And when he stops chastising you, when he stops saying things to you, when the Holy Spirit stops convicting you, that's a real good sign that you done left the kingdom of God, because God corrects his people. He don't correct sinners. He'll order the steps of a good man. And even when people are sinful, even when they're still sinners and not in the kingdom yet, God will order their steps if somebody believes him to, out of his sovereign mercy. Because when I was a sinner, there were times I thought to do some wrong, and the Lord gave me thoughts to help me not do what I was going to do. And he closed doors so that I didn't get myself in a ditch. But there was a time that came about that I prayed, and I thanked the Lord for the times he shut doors that I should not have walked in. And then my parents was praying for my safety. See, I used to ride motorcycles. And the Lord, my parents would pray for me. That's why I'm alive. Because they enabled God to protect me when I wasn't right. When the devil was trying to kill me. Now, when the Lord show you things that you need, quickly believe it and make the adjustments you got to make. Take him at his word. Believe his word. If you can believe him, you can do this. The moment you stop believing in what the Lord tell you, you got to trust the good thing, the things you desire. You got, just like you trust the things you desire, you got to trust the warning of God as well. And you have to mix the same kind of faith when God gives you something that you really want. When he's trying to help you, when he give you the person you really want to marry, and the Lord show you that's a good person to marry, and you're excited to marry that person. You know, you're a man, you really want to marry that woman, or you're a woman, you really want to marry that man. And the Lord give you good thoughts about them, good dreams about them. Show you things about their character that's positive. And he's with you. Now, just like you get excited about something favorable, you also have to take God at his word when he warns you about dangers. And when he show you something that you need to know, you got to believe him for it and make the adjustments. And then, only then, you'll have the change you need. Once you have the change, once you begin operating different, once you begin thinking different and acting different, you will enjoy the positive results of the change you made. Now, just like the Holy Spirit, for example, in denominational churches like Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Catholic churches, there was a time they stayed away from the supernatural move of God. They didn't deal with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They kind of preached around it. Now, because they didn't know it, they didn't understand it. They believed on Jesus, and then that was a doctrine of a devil. He got in the seminary saying that the baptism of the Holy Spirit went out with the apostles. Now, a lot of preachers used to preach that as doctrine, and there's no scriptural foundation for it. Because Peter taught that it's for your children. It's for you, your children, and as many as the Lord our God will call. So, but they danced around the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they were not used to it. And the people that taught them didn't do it. And you can trace it back to people that they lacked knowledge, and the devil took advantage of their lack of knowledge. Will they get people saved? Yes. Are they saved? Yes. Because you got to be a Christian before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And check this out. Every believer, every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. See, we have the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he breathed on them and said, they believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he told them to go in Jerusalem and wait. And they did, until they were endued with the power from on high. And they did, and they spoke in tongues. Everybody who's baptized in the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues. It's not spooky, it's of God. At the Tower of Babel, that was rebellion, and God divided the language. He gave them different languages, and they divided and went their separate ways, and they stopped building the foolish tower. God saved them from a lot of unnecessary effort. And then They turned around and went about their way. Nimrod wasn't in charge no more. And they were able to build their life without that fool of a man trying to take them down. He was satanic. And so God divided them so that there would be people for him to work through. Because the devil was going to kill everybody that he thought was a threat, the devil was going to kill. That's why they were building that tower. They were trying to build a one world government. Then the enemy was going to come back and start killing people who truly love God. And then he was going to try to pollute, make everything, just like with Sodom and Gomorrah. He introduced homosexuality through Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. The Lord had to burn them with fire. The enemy is trying to stop man's union with God. We are united through Jesus Christ. So people are always resistant to change until one good thing that we started having televised broadcasts, and like TBN and CBN, good networks, and they had people that were filled with the Holy Ghost that walked in wisdom. And people in denominational churches started receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was a great outpouring in the late 70s, early 80s. And people in every denomination was being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Catholic people, Baptist people, Methodist people. See, the gift is for everybody. I'm just using this as an example. If you want the Holy Spirit, God gave you the Holy Spirit. Receive it. If you were never around people that received, you don't have to be. Just go in your prayer closet and ask the Lord, tell them you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and believe Him for it and receive Him. It's a gift. You don't have to wait anymore. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at home. If you can receive change, if you can take God at His word. Now, before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my life was more of a struggle. I struggled to do right. I struggled to quit saying bad words. I struggled to think right. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, a lot of things just fell off my life because the power of the Holy Spirit was with me. I could live better. I could live like I truly wanted to. And when I didn't know what to do, I could pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord would help me pray for what I needed. And I didn't even know what I was praying for. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it gives you a chance to pray. The Holy Spirit will help you pray for what you need the most. I told the story of how my dad, the Lord moved on me to pray in the Holy Spirit one morning. And I yielded. I prayed, and I didn't know what was wrong. I knew something was wrong somewhere. I didn't know what it was. But I prayed till I started rejoicing and laughing. And then I went on to work. I went on and started doing my work for the day. And at the end of the day, I talked to my niece, and she usually go out of the front door. But while I was praying in the spirit, she was just moved to go downstairs and go out of the basement door. And she found my father laid out. He was having a diabetic attack. And she went and got him some orange juice and some candy, and he was fine. And then she went on to work. But I was praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord wanted to do something. So I prayed in the Holy Spirit. My pastor was on a plane going to Haiti. And his son, the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night. Had him praying while his father was flying over the ocean with another pastor. They were going to Haiti, and one of the engines went out in the plane, and they didn't, you know, he was praying, and the Holy Spirit helped them get that engine started, and they made it to Haiti where they were going. Now listen, people who say that it went out with the apostles, they're missing out on a blessing. They're gonna do more funerals. They're going to have more problems because they don't pray in the Holy Spirit, because they thought that it went out with the apostles. And see, wrong teaching is not anointing. In order to receive God's best, sometimes you have to change the way you think about things. And I'm saying this because, you know, you may be full of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. You may not understand all this, which is fine. Some people may not. But let me tell you, everything of God, you need it. Receive what God is giving you. It's easy to change your mind if you fill your heart with God's word. It's easy to renew your mind if you're steadily taking in the word of God. My pastor told his children, he said, when bullies come around, people try to make you feel bad for being godly. Keep enough word in your heart, just like a balloon. It has more air in the balloon, inside the balloon, than outside. So the pressures of this world can't get in. It's got more air inside. Well, when you have more word in you, you got more strength than the weakness of this world. The influences of this world is nothing but soft air, because you got pressurized. You're pressurized with the word of God. When the enemy come throwing his fiery darts, you have the shield of faith. When people try to attack you, you have the strength to fight back. You have the strength to counterattack bad advice. When people try to make you feel weak for not doing something that, like drinking, they say, well, you don't drink because you're weak. You know, in the 70s, they say, you're a chicken. You don't have to prove anything to anybody when you know who you are in Christ. If they call you names, it means nothing. And you don't enter into their fear. You don't fear their words. You don't fear losing respect. You don't fear their name calling. And you act like it's stupid. And they don't know what to do. Well, see, proud people, they don't understand, they don't know what to do when people don't fear them. People who think they're better, people who are proud, people who try to make you feel bad because you do right. When you say, no, I'm doing right because that's what I want to do. I love God. Sometimes, even my friends, they'll say, you can't do this. And I say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to heaven. And they don't know what to say then. I say, I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to hell fooling with that. And they let them know, no, you the one in trouble. I ain't in trouble. God, I'm doing what God said do. And if you want to do that, that's your business. But I ain't doing it. If they say off-color jokes, I walk off. I don't care. And sometimes they do it to make me walk off. I don't depend on people for nothing. My God said, owe no man nothing but to love them. I owe you love, and I want to love you because God loved me. And that's who I'm going to represent. I don't want to represent the devil. I hate his ways. But a guy like that, change it. Sometimes people, they want to change, they want to do better, but they, let's say a college professor that's not godly, they may be, you know, or somebody you respect, I'll just say somebody you respect, somebody you look up to, and you get saved and you start learning about the supernatural move of God, which is not, has nothing to do with science. A lot of people want to be scientific. They want to have the respect of this world. And some people are afraid of losing. They're afraid of how people will look at them and judge them if they speak in tongues, prophesy, say God said something. And they back off. And they get back into compromise. I don't have to do that. Anybody, I don't care who I love everybody. I tell everybody I know about the radio broadcast, the website, the books I write. And if they write, if they read and if they hear what I've been saying, they'll say, well, that's Thurston. Because that's the way I live. Because I love God. I'm not trying to hide my love for God. God has done too much for me. He's real. And I check this out. The Lord taught me some things about science. He taught me about creation. I asked him all kind of questions. I asked him questions about other planets and things. And you know what he said? He said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. Because a lot of people feel like you shouldn't ask God. So I ask him about everything. And you'll be surprised some of the visions I've seen and the dreams I've gotten and the answers I've gotten and the way he explained things to me. Change. Once you realize there's no pressure to, you don't have to know everything. But when the Lord reveals something to you, if you can receive what he's saying, you can change. If you can learn, you can transition. And you can, it's better. I want all the people who think they know everything. Listen, get to know the Lord. And you're going to find out. It's a bigger world than you know of. Heaven is a greater playground. It's better in every way. You ain't seen nothing yet compared to what you will see. The wisdom of God runs deep and it grows great. Everybody who follow God, they will grow from glory to glory. God won't drag you through the mud. Now the devil will, he'll try to stop you. He'll try to aggravate your life. But God will show you how to overcome him every time he tries something. And you can kill all of his influences within you. You can kill every form of doubt. You can kill all unbelief if you're willing to change according to the word of God. It's your duty and assignment to believe what God said. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to teach those that are hungry. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.